the same day to Neri Yisrael together and bumped into each other in the Beis Medrash, and Baruch Hashem, we've been good friends ever since. Just 30 seconds that I feel right at home here, and I want to be Makar Tayv to the shul. I teach a Malot. I'm here pretty much every day of the week. And Agresi Ashkayach, I've had the opportunity to say thank you publicly on Saim Gedalia when I speak, but I've never had the opportunity to say to Rabbi Howard publicly thank you, because we've the past 2 years swapped positions on Saim Gedalia. So thank you very much, and again, it's really a tremendous Makom Torah for everyone in the Beis HaKnesses, and may you continue to have much bracha v'hatzlacha. I feel at home in the Kail here too, seeing you in the light, learning with Baal Batim. Makes me homesick for when I was in Kail in San Diego. We learned with Baal Batim as well, and it was just such a beautiful scene to really see all the time. And again, thank you for inviting me just to have a few moments to watch you learning here in the Beis Medrash. As you've learned with the Chavrusas, you've seen the basics and maybe some of the in-depth aspects of Lifnei Iver. I'd like to go into some shilas and some issues related to this mitzvah, which we actually just learned a couple weeks ago, of the Lifnei Iver Leisitei Michshol. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis explains the mitzvah, Yodua ki tikun ha'olam v'yishuvahu lahadrich b'nei adam. The way of the world is a world of good, a world of chesed. It's a tikkun olam. We want to help people. The tachlis, the goal in life, is not to cause people to have problems. Oyiv shalom v'raydiv shalom aron hakayin, and it's almost an offshoot of that mitzvah where we're lovers of peace. We're not here to create machlokes. We're not here to cause people to have problems. When a person is gairim, the chinuch is saying, when a person causes someone else to do an aveira, or he gives them a bad piece of advice, so therefore you're creating problems in the world. He did an aveira, he did something wrong, you told him maybe to invest in something that you knew definitively is going down the drain. That is, we don't live in a world like that. And therefore the halacha is, the Torah says, Lifnei Iver Leisitei Michshol. It applies by women and men, the chinuch says. It applies by even the rabbanans, which means if I want to give someone, let's say, milk and chicken, which is only a rabbinic prohibition, it's also min rabbanan, that's also aser. There's a question which we're not going to get into. Am I over on a d'oraisa if I give him a d'rabbanan? What if I give someone chicken and milk, and I put it together, which is a rabbinic prohibition? So some say, that's a Torah prohibition for me. I'm doing something worse than him. He's eating chicken and milk, but I've been gairim, I've caused him to do an aveira, I've caused him to stumble. I'm worse than the person that did the aveira. Some say, how could it be that I'm worse than he is? I only caused him to do a drabbanan. But everyone agrees that even by a drabbanan, the halacha is, at least most agree, if not all, that even by a drabbanan, halacha is, we say, lifnei iver. So much so that the term, the Michas Chinuch points out, that Hakra Yotzei Midei Pshutai Legamri, that even the Pasuk leaves its simple definition. If you take the literal translation of Le'ivar Le'sitei Michshol, it literally means that you place a stumbling block in front of a blind person. There's so much discussion about, I caused someone to do an Aveira. I gave someone Basar Chalav, milk and meat. I gave someone a piece of chazer, something not kosher. Or I gave him a bad eitz, I gave him bad advice, so much so that according to many, that if I actually took a brick and I put it by the doorstep of a blind person, so when he walks out in the morning, he actually stumbles over it, there's some rishayim that learn that there's no prohibition to that. The Torah doesn't even mean the literal example. And if that's the case, we have to understand why did the Torah use a lashon, a terminology of lifnei iver, leisitei michshol. What does blind have anything to do with this? Of course, figuratively we say that, well, if I don't know, you know, that I don't know any better, and as you look in the Gemara, you're bringing a nazir wine, so you're assisting him in doing the aveira, he's an iver, he doesn't realize, but why the choice of the terminology of iver? What does it mean, the blind person? So the Rambam in Masechet Shviyos, Perek Hei Halacha Vav, on the Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam, The Mishnah over there is speaking about a classic case of Bnei Iver, which will be Megeya Mitzvashem B'Shatov Mitzlachas Rosh Hashanah of not this coming year, but next year when we begin Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. Abal Leinu Tavshin Samach Ches will be a year of Shemitah. So the Mishnah says, Ein Elu Kalim She'ein Ha'uman Rishayin L'Maychum. These are the vessels, this is the equipment that you're not allowed to sell someone B'Shvias. During the year of Shemitah, Mahresha, a plow, and the Mishnah goes on to list all sorts of farming equipment that is typically used. Why is it up to the sell? Because imagine coming after Sukkot of 2007 to someone in Eretz Yisrael and say, here's a plow, on sale, I'll give you a good price. So the Mishnah says, that's Lifnei Iver, because who needs a plow then? You know, it's going to sit for a year. You don't buy a plow in Cheshvan of the Tavshin Samach Ches in 2007 so that you can use it a year from now. Obviously, this farmer wants to take this and use it to plow the fields. So that's Lifnei Iver. So the Rambam says, what does it mean, Lifnei Iver? What does this mean, exactly? What's a loymar? Misha sagra einav hataiva v'yetzahara altazayv oisai lohoisif b'ivroinai. This person is blinded from his taivas and from his yetzahara, from his lust and from his evil inclination. This farmer wants to work. He wants to make money. Maybe he'll even make more money this year. Everyone else is off. Al chaparayin. So he's an iver. He is blinded. When a person does an avera, it's an interesting psychological insight into how one does an avera. And that is, when a person does an avera, he is blinded from his yetzahara, from his evil inclination, and he's blinded from his taivas. He has certain lust to do something wrong. So he's blinded. As we know, very often a person wants to do something and they know it's a mistake. You know, you're blind. We would say to somebody, if you're trying to convince someone not to make a bad decision, you say you're being blinded. Because you're, what are you doing that for? It's obvious you shouldn't be getting involved with this shidduch, getting involved with this deal. We talk like this all the time in a business deal. Your partner wants to do something that makes no sense. You say you're being blinded by the fact that it's an old friend of yours. Or something like that. So the Rambam, when we do an aver, it's the same idea. We are blinded. Lifnei iver, in front of the person who's blinded himself from the performance of mitzvahs properly and adequately, and don't put something decisive. Don't help this yid go further, or for that matter, this guy, as we've learned in the Gemara, there are cases by a Gentile as well, by every minachai. You can't give that to a ben noach, to a Gentile. We're not here in the business to help people go further off the derech than they are. It's interesting, the Rambam, I don't know if you got to the Rambam, but the Rambam in Hilchos Beit Seach, Shmiras Nefesh, is to a certain extent almost saying the same Yisayit, you have it in the back, in the second to last page, where the Rambam there writes, he doesn't say it as explicitly, but note his Lashon is meduyik in what he says. Called She'asr Limkor Leibet Echavim, it's Halacha Yodalad, Asr Limkor LeYisrael Shu Listim in Neshanim Tzomachzit Yad Yidei Oivre Aveiro Machshiloi. If you can't sell it to a guy, don't sell it to a ganav, to a listim. The hankal hamachshel iver bedover, a person who causes a stumbling block in front of a blind person. If you see eitzah she'ena hagenes, and you cause him you give him advice which is not proper. Oy shechizik yidei oivre aveira, or you help this person doing aveira, shehu iver. This person who is about to do an aveira is blind. The einoy raya derech haemes mitnei taivas liboy. So Dr. Rambam, look at the extra terminology. It's almost a mutzah sefer, this Rambam. This Rambam you find in the Mesillas Yesharim. This person who is about to do an aveira, he doesn't see the derech haemes mitnei taivas liboy. His taivas cause him to be blinded. And therefore, that's the Rambam is really saying the same thing. He's Lashita say from the Mishnah in Shvius, in that he's saying he's Ein Arayah Taivas Libay, Sahareza Oyv Belaysa say, if you do it, you're Oyv Belaysa say, and therefore we don't do those types of things. Now, as we saw, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that the person, if he gives the classic example is when you give a Nazir something to drink. Nazir doesn't want to drink wine. So the Yad Malachi, the Techemet, Chelik Beis, Amud 294, which I believe was perhaps this one was photocopied. I see there was a Techemet that was photocopied in the back. Brings the Yad Malachi that asked the following question. Tuvas Yad Malachi apparently, I didn't have access to one, but apparently spoke much about this halacha of Lufay Iver. And he had a question, what happens if I go over to this Nazir? And we're talking about, as you look in the Gemara, Trey Avid in the Hari, speaking with two sides of the river, this Nazir does not have any access to a liquor store, he has no access to wine, there are no bridges, and again, the case of the Gemara is, where you took a little boat, you stuck on a bottle of wine, and you shipped it across to him. Without you, he would have never had that bottle of wine. And what happens if you send him this bottle of wine, but he doesn't drink it? In the end, he never did this Avera. Are you Iver on Lifnei Iver or not? In other words, the classic Lifnei Iver is when I gave him the bottle of wine, he made a L'chaim and drank it, so now he did his Avera, it's Aser. You've done your Avera Lifnei Iver. You caused, he had Taivas Liba to drink wine, you caused him to do something wrong, to be Maisav on his Avera, to add to his Avera, your Iver. What if he didn't drink it? He never drank the wine. Have I, in the end of the day, have I done an Avera or not? So the Yad Malachi says, yes, you've done the Avera. Why? He writes, Anasina Kapid Rachmana, Vahare Avar Al Meimer de Rachmana. The Torah is Makbid, the Torah cares about my Nasina, my giving. The prohibition of Ne'iver is the Pa'ula, is the action of me giving the wine to the Nazir. That is the Avera. And it doesn't matter whether he drinks or not, the Yad Malachi says, because I've done the Avera. I made the attempt, the Nasina, the handing over itself, is the Avera in and of itself. The Stechemed brings other shittas from a Kaivis Yagdol Torah that says that he was not Iver. You're not Iver because in the end he never drank the wine. If Lifnei Iver means if I give him the wine and he does the Avera, then in that case I'm Iver on Lifnei Iver. But if he never drinks it, then in the end I'm not Iver. So what's the Machloikas? I heard many years ago from Reb Sacha Friend. I don't remember who he said it from. But he said as follows. He was Masber that what is the tachlis of what is the goal of the mitzvah of Ne'iver? One way to understand it is that we don't want to be marba averis b'Yisrael, or for that matter, marba averis in the world, which means the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want you to be in the business of. We don't want more Averis to be performed. In other words, unfortunately, there are people who do Averis. You're going out of your way. There's a Nazir there that's on a dry island. There's no wine. So therefore, he'll be safe. He's safe and sound. By giving him this bottle, you are causing a Ribi Averis. You're causing more Averis to be performed. Torah doesn't want that. So the Torah says, don't cause an increase in Averis. That's one side. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the Torah cares about you. The Torah says it's not a nice thing that you're in the business of being causing averus. That's not proper. You should go around saying here Nazir, you have some wine. Here you're a guy, have some aver min achai, right? You have something to cut off limb from a living animal. That's in Yiddish they say it's a shlach tazach. I'm in the business. It's not nice. I'm in the business of helping you do averus. I should be in the mitzvah business. I'd rather go around helping you do mitzvahs. That's what a yid is supposed to be doing. I'll learn with you, I'll do some mitzvahs with you. But to be in the business, that's not a nice thing. In fact, it's degrading for a human being to want to cause other people to do averus. The nafkamin is this machloikis between the Yad Malachi and the Kaivitz Yagdol Torah. And that is, if the pshat is we don't want to rebuy an averus, we don't want to increase the sins in the world. So if Lamaisa, he never did the avera, I sent him the wine, but he didn't drink the wine, so in the end there was never a rebuy averus, because he didn't drink, there was never an increase in sin. He didn't drink, so I tried, so what? I failed. He never drank, he threw the bottle out. So therefore, according to that, that's how the Yagdol Torah would learn. But the Yad Malachi, where Pshat is that the Torah cares about me. The Torah says, we don't want you to be in the business. So if I make an attempt, I do this avla, this not nice thing of attempting to trip up this person, and I give him over this bottle of wine. So therefore, it doesn't matter that he drank or not. The anasina, as the Amalaki says, anasina kapir rachmana. The Torah cares about the mice of what they even has nothing to do with whether he drinks the wine or eats the eber minachai. It's strictly a din in the mice of the nasina. When I hand him the bottle of wine, I've done something wrong because I attempted to do a not nice thing, which the Torah is machped on. And therefore, that's the tulis hamachloikas in this particular case. Now, there's an interesting shaila that the Paiskim bring down, this Nechemin also brings from a Sefer Teferis Adam, that the Torah was makpid on lifnei iver, loy sitei michshal, veloy lifnei delifnei, and not lifnei delifnei. What does that mean? So the Teferis Adam says, let's say, and here's his case. Akum of Vakesh Mirav, an interesting case, which is really a whole separate shir in its own right. Akum avakesh me roife litain lo sam lahapil ha'uber me akum chazinsa. There was a case where a woman wanted to perform an abortion. So the doctor came along and the woman wanted to take this sam. Apparently it was some sort of medication. So now we could really get off on a tangent and say maybe they wanted the RU486. Which is the morning after pill, and so that's a whole separate shiloh, whether that's considered abortion or not, it's before 40 days. Again, like I say, this is a whole shear in its own right, which we're not going to get into. So to make it simple, the case was a certain hormonal drug that doctors are able to give, let's say after 40, without getting that shiloh. I'm not passing that shiloh about the RU486 here. We're just, in order to avoid that issue, the case is with some hormonal medication that's given, let's say, in the third month, or the end of the second month of pregnancy. And now I sell that drug. I want to sell it. I want to give it to someone who's going to give it to his wife to be able to take. Is it mutter or is it asr? So the Tiferes Adam, the Sechemet brings the Akum Avakish Meroyfe Litein Leisam Lahapil Uber. He wanted to get from the doctor this item. So he says the Sechemet brings Varak Os. It's mutter. Because that's lifnei delifnei. I'm a distributor of this sam, of this medication. And I am going to give it to a doctor. I'm going to sell it to a doctor. I'll make a good profit on it also. Now the doctor is going to take that and give it to this woman to go take home and take. I'm not talking about I'm giving him the tools to do the mice. I'm giving it to the person who's going to give it to the person. Zakhtei chemed, that's mutter. Why? Because that's lifnei delifnei, which means lifnei iver means I send a bottle of wine to the nazir. But if I, let's say there's a meat store on the other side of the river, and they're out of eber minachai, right? They have a big sign in the window, eber minachai for sale, and there's goyim, there's umasalim, there's gentiles on that island, and I'm a meat distributor, and I want to ship them, I want to send, right? They're in Big Dial Meat, Alaska, which is an island which is ice between the mainland and them. They have no way to get meat. They sell Eber Minachai. I want to ship it, I want to drop ship by helicopter that store Eber Minachai. There's some Eskimos that live on the island. Zok to say, Chemed, that's mutter. For me to give the Eber Minachai to the guy is asr. That's called Lifnei Iver Leisita Michshol. But if I give it to the store to give to the guy, that's Lifnei de Lifnei. That's a secondary step. And therefore, Zokti Sechemed, B'Shem Tferes Adam, that's mutter to do. And the same thing over here. I want to give it to the doctor, to give it to the woman, to take home, to take. That's Lifnei de Iver. That's Lifnei. Lifnei, it's mutter. Aval Nosa L'Roifei Shenoi Sein Muberes Mutter. But he says, but the problem would be is if it's a yid, then we would be makbid. Interesting chiluk that he's making. Lifnei de lifnei is osur, is mutter by a guy, and it's really mutter by a yid, except there's a technical difficulty. And that is, there's another halacha which says that we don't want to stick into the system. something that's going to be machshel a yid. It's not a nice thing to do. There's all sorts of cases in Chazal where we don't want to put something that says by Kilayim, for example, their case. We just had a case in the Varakashas, there was a shiloh which came up. Someone at work was given by a yid chametz after Pesach. This yid knew that it's chametz shavuot la Pesach. He knew that this, it was, let's say, the day after Pesach, he was given a box of Stella Dora cookies. And he knows this other yid, right, was sealed, it had hechsher on it, everything should have been fine. But he knew that the guy came, I don't know if this was the exact details, but to make it simple, he knew that this guy owned this on Pesach. So the shayla was, of course, chametz shavuot la Pesach. It's also, you can't eat it. His question was, can he donate it to a food bank? He doesn't want to throw it out. Let him donate. He wants to donate it to a food bank. So there's several shilas here. Again, also another food for thought for another shir. But Lamaisa, the issue here was getting to all the other issues. The one issue that remained, as we spoke some of Rav Heinemann and the Manakashras, was that you can't give it to a food bank because it's a mikshel. What's the mikshel? It's a stumbling block. Because very often, food banks, especially probably with a heksher, may trickle its way down to, Avos Yisrael. Avos Yisrael, stick in a box, there'll be a yid that's gonna eat chametz on Pesach. You can't put it into that system because it's gonna cause a mikshel. So I said, what about to give it to a food bank in Mozambique? So that it's okay, because it's not gonna trickle its way down. There's no yid in Mozambique that's gonna eat, there's no yid in Mozambique. They're not gonna eat it. So that's technically mutter, that would have been okay. But we see, you never stick something in the system that down the road is gonna cause a yid to do something wrong. And therefore, for that reason, this RU486 or whatever psalm that the Rofe needed, you don't want to stick in the system where a yid may get it. But let's say you want to give it to Zakta Tarasadab, you want to give it in an eifin, in a case where you know that it's not going to end up in the hands of a yid. You're in Alaska somewhere where there's no yin, let's say, and you know it's not going to happen. There's no problem, because the only prohibition to a Gentile is lifnei yivir lesita mikshol. There is no lifnei to lifnei. And again, there's no lifnei lifnei to a yin either, except the issue of trickle down. Someone had a question. Yeah. I can't, but that. Right. I mean, so that's a, you know, schlachtezach, I guess, one could say. You should know, without getting into details, someone asked me a shaila regarding recently, and I was Shaul Eitzah because this shaila was above me, and, you know, way above me, and his partner asked a shaila and got two different answers. It related to a certain mechanical device which could be used to make pranks, which I'm not going to get into. It's something that could cause a lot of agmas nefesh for people with pranks. Let's do something with an electronic device that it could wreak havoc. I'll make it up. Let's say it's something where you can intercept cell phone calls and start talking to somebody. That wasn't the case, but let's pretend that's the case, and you could just start talking and messing up people. So he wasn't going to do it himself. His shaila was, could he distribute it or not? He was so far removed, right? You know, a good way to make a few bucks. So I asked the shaila by an Adam Gadol, out of town. I went to it was such a sneaky type of thing that I figured I'd go to a Pesach in New York, because they probably get maybe some of these types of shilas on a regular basis, right? Nothing against New York. I'm not saying what's wrong in New York, but just this chap was a New York chap, you know? So he told me, is this his only parnasa? I said, no, he has other business. This was just an additional chap. So he says, it's not a nice thing to do. His partner at the same time went to go ask an Adam Gadol. Adam Gadol also. And got a different answer. Said, you're so far removed, it's mutter. So that may be totally in this halacha here. It's a lifnei. I'm not gonna get on the phone and play shtick. I'm not even selling it to you that's gonna play shtick. I'm the distributor. I sell it to stores and they sell it to 7-Eleven and 7-Eleven sells it to the customer. I'm far removed. It's not my problem. Others may say it is, but that is the crux of the issue of when the Torah says l'neivir l'sitei mikshol, and we say lifnei de lifnei is not a problem. How far back am I obligated to be careful? Yeah. It's a psigration. I don't know, again, pashas though, I mean, after all said and done, selling marijuana would pashas be usur, because, you know, for many reasons that we could say, but one of them would be, it is a michshol, you're ruining lives with it, and so on. That would be incorporated into this issue of... What's that? Okay, so you'll sell it. You move to California and you'll sell it, right? Where they want to legalize it, but in Maryland they're not going to let it. You know, we just met with the governor. Howard and I were at a meeting. That child didn't come up of when are you going to let marijuana into the state? Maybe some other ministers asked that question, but not at the Vatican bottom. Now, the Stechemin also brings, besides Stechemin, there was a Taisvis, which perhaps you learned, which I want to go through, not the Taisvis inside, but rather the Mishnah Berurah's understanding and the Sharatzin, the Chafetz Chaim's understanding of this Taisvis, which is really a separate sugya of Lifnei Iver, and it's really not Lifnei Iver at all. And that is Tais, the case in Masechta Shabbos at the beginning, which was the famous Mishnah, first Mishnah Shabbos, speaks about all the different scenarios of Haitzah. Right? And it just, if you want to picture the Mishnah, this is also a side issue to the Shir, but of course the case is where the person, the Balabas, is standing in the house, and the Ani comes along and wants to get something. So the Gemara talks about Akiras and Hanukkahs, which again we're not going to get into. If I hand it to him, I made the Akira, he made the Hanukkah. Is it an Isser? Is it not an Isser? But the case that we're addressing is where I'm standing in my house, and the Ani comes, this poor person comes, and I'm standing there in my house holding something. I'm not handing him anything. And he wants to take something from me. So he sticks his hand in, and he picks up the item, and he crosses the line. He goes from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, which is a Malachat HaRaisa, even if it's not four Amos, right? If you're outside, you gotta walk four Amos. If it's over the threshold, and if you wanna just picture this, whenever I go to the airport early in the morning, so I usually like to take Monroe Street, because there's guaranteed no traffic. Next time you go down Monroe Street, I always, most of the time, picture this Mr. Masechta Shabbos, because on Monroe Street, the houses are flush up against the sidewalk. They're just, it's the house, there's three little stairs, and literally someone could stand, if you're in those row houses, right, the old Baltimore row houses, if somebody stands right inside, in our homes, you can't really do this, because where's the line? If I'm in my house and I stick my hand out, I'm on the porch. So if I'm on the porch and I hand it to him, I'm on my sidewalk, my own sidewalk, that's not really Rosh Hashanah, and then my side, where's the Rosh Hashanah? Here, you have a busy thoroughfare. It's a huge thoroughfare. It's Highway 1. Goes all the way from Maine to Florida, to Key West, Florida. It's Ein L'cha Rosh Hasharam G'dayla Mizu. And in the house is flush up against the street with three little steps. I can literally, the Ani could stand on the sidewalk, which is right next to the street, and stick his hand into my house, if I own it, and pull something right out. Right? So when you drive it, you'll picture that Mishnah. So the Mishnah over there says that the halacha is Patra of Al-Asr. You're potter, but it's usher. You as the balabas cannot stand inside that house and let this person get away with it. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah brings, which is really based on Taisus. We'll go straight to Mishnah Berurah because we're limited on time. Lemishum Isser Shabbos. It's not an Isser Shabbos here. I'm not doing anything. I'm just standing there holding a loaf of bread, and the Ani comes along and pulls it from me. Elishamachshel es chaveray. It's a michshul v'garim loy lohaytzi chayfetz ay lachnisa. You're causing him to bring it in or take it out. V'yesh b'zeh iser tayra mishum lifnei iver. So this is lifnei iver. If I'm the only way, I'm the only loaf of bread that he can get to, that's lifnei iver. V'im hu munach ba'ayfin shimafilu lohaya b'yado hayyachal litloy. The loy kavar lifnei iver. This Mishnah Berurah is telling me the exact sugya which you learned in the Gemara, and that is, if it's a way that he could have gotten it without me, in other words, there's plenty of other neighbors that will be happy to give him this loaf of bread, mikol makayim isa derabonon ika. There's still an Issa Rabbanan. Now we can explain this. Taisus, this is really based on Taisus, that on Daf Gimel and Shabbos, that says This is known as Misayelet Loiv Avera, which means I am assisting this Yid in doing an Avera. It's not Lifnei Iver, because remember, Lifnei Iver is only when it's two sides of the river, when he can't get to it without me. Here, there's plenty of other people who will give it to him. So it's called Misayelet Loiv Avera. What is the rationale of Misayelet Loiv Avera? Zaktim and Shabur, Dafilu, how do we know this? Dafilu Katan Eichel Mevelois, based in Mitzuvah B'Hafrishai. The halacha is that if a katan, very interesting svara that really the mishabura is bringing, and it's really explaining the taisus that perhaps you did, which is again this halacha, and that is a halacha that if a child is sitting eating chazer, child is a barchinach, is sitting and eating chazer, based in his parents certainly, but based in if his parents don't, are mechuyev to come and say, hey, we don't eat at McDonald's, we don't do this. So if that's the case, if I'm standing here in my own house on Monroe Street, and the Ani comes, the Yiddish Ani comes in and sticks his hand in, so I'm going to let him get away with an Avera? I got to stop a kid from eating at McDonald's. I see a kid who's 12 years old carrying in the street. So I'm a chuyif to tell him, he's a bachinach, he knows better, he shouldn't be doing that. I have to say to him, listen, we don't carry in the street. So I'm going to let a yid come and carry something. So the din, the mishabur is learning that the din of misayel bar avera is a kal v'chaimer from the din of based in mitzvah lafrisha, which means it's for sure. If I'm obligated to tell you to stop and don't do this avera, or I'm obligated to tell you this is an avera if you carry in the street, for sure I can't sit by and idly watch you take the challah out of my hand and carry it onto the street. And therefore that's the lumbus of the din of misayel bar avera, the shartzian at the bottom, which we don't have time to go through in its entirety. But the Shartzian is troubled by the terminology of the Rush. This is based on the Rush's Mishnah Brura. That is, why is this only the Rabbanan? Why is Misayeya the Rabbanan? Which means that if we're learning out the din, in other words, what this shows you, and this is to interject Musar and Ashkafa here, is that you're learning about interpersonal relationships, the Torah cares about another yid. That is what the Torah is all about. It's not only, what can I do for myself? Right? Shali, as we say in Pirkei Avos, shali, v'shalach. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours, is zumida stoim. That's the way they operate in stoim. Mind your own business, I'll take care of myself, and you worry about your own thing, I don't care about you. That goes both on a physical issue, that if you're starving, then I'll let you starve. In stoim, they said you could starve. Shali, v'shalach. You gotta eat what you have, and if you have nothing, it's too bad. The same thing is in Hashkafa as well, in Ruchnius. If you don't know what's going on, the Torah cares that I have to stop, I have to tell you what's right. Of course, it has to be in the right way. I can't walk around just telling you don't. There's a way of saying it. But if it's done in the proper way, the Torah says you're supposed to tell another yid, this is wrong. We care about each other. We can shali, right? Shalach. I'm here to help you. That's the tachas of a yid, to help another yid. Zuck the Mishnah Brura. So I don't understand the Rush. What do you mean this is a Durabonon? We're learning this out of the din of that I'm a chuyev l'hafrisha me'isr. That's a din d'iraisa. That's halacha d'iraisa, that I'm obligated to stop you from doing an isr or telling a katan not to do an avera. So in the end, the shartzian comes out that there's really three levels. If I have it, I'll tell it to you outside. If I have the item in my hand and the ani puts his hand in and he can only get it from me, that's l'fnei iver l'sikta nichshol, because I'm the only place in town. If I shut the door in his face and say, I'm sorry, if you want to eat this challah, you have to come into my Shabbos table and I'll give you to eat, but I'm not going to let you carry it out. And otherwise, there's nowhere else for him to go. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. No one else is going to give him a loaf of bread. Everyone else is sleeping. That's l'fnei iver l'sikta nichshol. If the ani could have gotten it, but I have the ability to stop him, I could stop him from taking it from my hand, that's a case of Misayel Dvar Avera D'Oraisa. That means that I'm holding it. Yes, he could have gone next door. He could have gone somewhere else and got the loaf of bread. But I stand there, I stand by idly watching him perform. This isn't D'Oraisa. That's coming from my house. It's coming right out of my hand. That's Misayel Dvar Avera, Misayel from the term of helping. Like we have the Gemara of all the time, Misayel Loi, when a person tries to do better, the Ribbono Shel Olam assists him. So So we have the same term, Misayeya, I am assisting this fellow Yid in doing an Aver. It's wrong, it's a deraisa, it's an offshoot of feeding a car, allowing a child to eat tarfis. And finally, if an Ani could have gotten it though without me anyway, and I couldn't have I can't really stop him. In the end, he's going to pull it out of my hand. Then that's a misayel drabanan. In other words, if I don't make the attempt to stop him, in other words, if I really can't stop him, no matter how hard I try, in other words, the middle case there, right, is he's pulling the challah from my hand, and I could have gone like this and say, "You want to eat? Come in my house." That's a misayel drabanan. But if let's say the challah is you know on my table by the door, and he's by my doorway, and he's just going to grab it anyway, and it's a question of me saying, "Don't do that." And he says, "I don't care." Though then I did what I told him not to take it. That's, but if I don't say anything in that case, in other words, he could have taken it without. I had no way to stop him. That's called Misayeya Durabana. And that's how the Chafetz Chaim answers the case of the Rush. The last thing I want to say in the 30 seconds I have is it prohibited to speak with a Yid who is a Mechal Shabbos in a place where it's Shabbos right now. In other words, if I want to pick up the phone, I once had this case. I had a company in China that I was dealing with in the Vatakashas. It was in Hong Kong. And I dealt with this fellow for probably up to a year. He was a distributor of fine chemicals. And I was on the phone with him one Friday morning, and it was December, and I said to him something like, "Oh, it's holiday season." So he says to me, "Oh, a nice Jewish boy, you know, amongst all these guys." That's what he said to me. I said, "Jewish boy?" He says, "Yeah, Jewish boy." So then I never realized he's a Yid. So I said to him, "Oh, it's Shabbos by you, right?" You know, once I knew he's a Yid, and he knew he grew up. And he told me, "I grew up in Long Island, you know, the whole bit." I said, "Oh, Shabbos to you." He says, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, that probably means I shouldn't be speaking to you." He says, "I guess not." I hung up. Right? So it's also to speak with a Yid, because that's also the same with Baravera. I am helping him out in doing the Avera. The Shmir Shabbos has a different shot. Shmir Shabbos says you can't talk to a Yid because you're Nanami Maisa Shabbos, which means you're getting Hanah. Here's a Yid being Mechal Shabbos. You're deriving benefit. I'm conducting business with a Yid who's Mechal Shabbos. Then I think the Nachmina between these Pshatim, and I know it's Machlokes HaPaiskim. Are you allowed to listen to CBS News, Robert Berger, on CBS News at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday afternoon? Mutter Asr from the correspondent of Eretz Yisrael. Mutter Asr. According to the Shmir Shabbos, it should be Asr. Because you're Nenem Maisa Shabbos. There's a Yid who's Mechal Shabbos right there in front of your eyes. You're getting Hanah, you're getting benefit from a Yid. It's Asr. If you learn though, it's only a Din in Misayel Devar Aveir. That's why I can't speak to a Yid on the phone. There's no Misayel here. He's talking into the microphone. Whether I listen or not, it makes no difference. So I've heard from different Paiskim this case. I try not to listen. If I'm listening to the news and he's on, unless it's something, a burning issue, then I'm crouching to hear what's going on. But if it's just standard news coming out of Eretz Yisrael, then I will turn off the radio when he's speaking, because you can't be nana mi malachas hakim. Thank you very much. Hatzlacha. Yeah. Yes, I think, I don't know if that's called Messiah in that case. If you know he's Jewish, you mean. I mean, he's going to go anyway. So that might be the Messiah Drabanon of the, it's certainly not a Raisa Messiah, because you can't stop him. He's going to just continue driving. It could be though, it's a Messiah Drabanon, because even though I can't stop him, maybe I should say, "Listen, you know, I can't." So I would guess, and I'm speaking now off the cuff here, is that might be the Messiah Drabanon that the Chafetz Chaim is speaking about, because look, I can't stop him, he's gonna do it anyway, but why do I have to be Messiah him? Why do I have to help him get where he's going? You know, I don't know, maybe give him wrong directions. Say, you know, it's like a half a block down and park the car and you'll find it. That won't work anyway, because he's gonna get back in the car and find it later. I once asked the Shaila, that also bothered me, that maybe, especially if you have a radio that, you know, lights up, sometimes radio when they speak, it's more, but I was told that's Eber Mamish, and that's not an issue. That's not a problem. I'll tell you Maisa. I'll tell you a story. When they had the millennium, Y2K, so the whole world was nervous, what's gonna be? So I figured, why do I have to worry? Let me call and find out. So I took my kids to the telephone, and it was 7:30 in the morning, Friday morning. Y2K was, remember, it was a Friday night, January 1st, 2000. And I called the Hilton Hotel in Auckland, New Zealand, and I said, "How?" It's 7:30 in the morning. It was 7:30 in the morning. No, it was the afternoon. It was already the next morning. I forgot what would it be, 60 hours, whatever time it was. It was already Saturday morning there. I said, I spoke to the, you know, they connected me with the bellboy or whatever it was. I said, "How are things going?" He says, "Great." I said, "You have electricity? You have water?" He said, "Yeah, okay, everything will be fine." Nothing to worry about. So that's mutter. In other words, if you're speaking to a place where it's Shabbos, if you're speaking to a guy, or like I speak to New Zealand, the Rav, I can assume, I don't have to be afraid that I'm going to speak to a Yid. Yes, there's that chance, but since New Zealand is, I guess, 99% Gentiles, so I'm allowed to place that call. And therefore, it's okay. I mean, this issue comes up if you have, very often, if you have someone has a baby and they're in Eretz Yisrael and they want to tell their parents in America and it's Shabbos there, you know what can and what you can't do. You know, if you're causing a yid to do the malacha at the other end by some way, then it's going to be a problem. But if not, then then not. Yes.
I'm pushing up on the neighbor. It says that on the other side of the river. So if a Jew comes up to two Jews and he asks for advice. And the first Jew gives him bad advice. Is it not the giver because he could ask the other Jew for advice and got good advice?
See, so I think, and I'm also, my guess here is that the concept of Trey Avdin Denahari is perhaps only by Isser, right? In other words, it was really two, the concept of Le'iver really, the way the Gemara learns and the way the Rambam learns and everyone learns, it seems to be split in really to two separate areas. One is Isser, here's a cup of wine and you're a Nazir, and the second is Eitzah. The mechanics of the two are really two totally separate issues. In fact, going back to that whole question of if you don't do the Avera, did I do an Avera? That whole discussion really relates to Averis. An Eitzah is really, I think, a different category. So my guess is the concept of Trei Avdin Ahari only applies to Isser and does not apply to Eitzah, because Eitzah is working on a different set of principles. It's just saying, I'm going to mess you up, I give you bad advice, I know that this is a poor financial move, and I'm giving you that advice because I want to get you. That might be, I mean, just thinking out loud, maybe the lumbus of the one who held the Kaibitz Agdol Torah, that held that the problem with Ne'iver is me, I'm the bad guy that's giving you the cup of, you the nuzzer, the cup of wine, that might be because you see it by Eitzah. We say that. Now the concept of Eitzah is that you're not causing more affairs. If I give you bad Eitzahs and you lose money in the stock market because of my Eitzahs, then let's say a case where I knew it's going to be a problem and I told you anyway to get involved with this, that doesn't do with Averis. That Eitzah strictly works in the realm of Torah doesn't want me a bad guy. I shouldn't go around causing Averis. I shouldn't be a bad Eitzahs. That might be the whole lumbus behind that shot. You see, Eitzah is only a one-way issue of I'm the bad guy. So therefore, Avera too. Torah doesn't want me to be a bad guy. That might be a proof to that, and therefore I would say that applies even, it wouldn't really matter where or what. Yes?
A non-observant Jew or a conservative Jew who more than life for Shabbos or for Yom Tov, which is period Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Okay, so the...
You know they're going to drive.
So the classic psak, and I believe this is the Kabbalah that we have from Weinberg Zatzal and others, is that it would be a misayeya or offshoot thereof if you invite him for, let's say, lunch Shabbos, where you definitively know, if you invite him for lunch Shabbos, definitively you know that he's not going to come to your home and he has to drive, he has no choice. But if you invite him Friday night, and you say, listen, candle lighting is 7 o'clock, come, we'll go to shul together, or you'll stay with, we'll come at that time. You'll come at that point before Shabbos begins, before candle lighting, and in the summer it's going to be a little bit easier. Then, and you say to him, listen, we have accommodations for you to stay at our home. Even if he says, look, I'll come to you Friday night, but I'm not staying, that's okay. Because you've afforded him the opportunity you know he's coming before Shabbos, so he's not coming to your house b'avera. You've given him the opportunity. It has to be in a case where really you mean it. In other words, if he wants to sleep there, you'd have the beds and the accommodations and whatever. And now if he chooses to leave, that's already not in your concern, per se. That's not called a misayaya in that case. So therefore, the solution really is, when inviting someone who does not keep Shabbos, is invite him Friday night, and say, come for Shabbos, you stay. And even if he says to you, I'm not going to stay, you just say to him, look, you may change your mind. You come, you'll see. You know, maybe you'll change your mind. And if he leaves, that's okay.
I mean, if you invite him like that, and he says, I won't come for the night and stay, but I'll come to the shul with you Shabbos morning.
So I think once he's there already, in other words, you're not, someone had this question with a kiddush, like someone worked at the office, they knew he was making a kiddush. They're gonna come anyway. So in that case, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You're not, you know, you have to stop him per se. There's no way to stop him. You're not really misayeh like the Chafetz Chaim's case of, you know, if you can tell him not to come, he's gonna come anyway, kind of thing. I think if a yid is in shul already now, and he drove, and he's here he is, you can go over to him and say, Shalom Aleichem, you maybe want to, you know, come to my house Shabbos for lunch, come over. So that's already, you've done nothing, he's there already. So I think, you know, Zom say, yeah, you haven't done anything. Now he goes after the meal and drives home. That's his business. Those are the damage has been done already before your interaction with him. So I think, you know, that would be, if he's in shul already, it's mutter, but to call him up on the phone and say, listen, why don't you come, I think that's a problem. That's the general meaning amongst Talmidim of the yeshiva, and others. Yeah, so it's okay. In other words, to cause a machine to go on Eretz Yisrael is not a problem. That the fact that a machine is there on, I'm here, it's Friday afternoon, that's not a problem. Well, that's a whole separate, malacha for him what? The fact the machine clicks on, and that's not a problem. In other words, I haven't done anything. I've caused the machine to go on Eretz Yisrael where it's Shabbos, but by me it's Chol. So that's not a problem. The problem would be, again, if I know he's a, somebody that company in America that has a distributor in Eretz Yisrael, they're not from. I try and I email them periodically. I try not to email them on Friday morning because I know that he's going to open the email Friday night. I have no doubt about it. So that might be this, the Rabbanan Dikam Isayeh. I mean, the whole Maisa may only be the Rabbanan to start with without getting into that, but I don't feel it's the right thing to do. So I will avoid even a CC. The company's in Utah. If I send the company an email in Utah, I will often CC in Eretz Yisrael, but on a Friday morning I won't CC it because I don't want them to do that. Whether that's really us or not, I don't know. That's how I try to be nice because of these issues. Yes?
Question you have over here. You're a huge store and you figure that your workers are stealing from you. Can you give over extra money?
There is a case that I didn't have a chance to get to, and that is the Paiskim ask, what's the heter for me to cause a shvua? The famous, right, in yeshiva we learned, might have a mixus, right? The famous case where I say, you owe me $1,000. And you say, you agree, you borrowed $1,000, but you agree, you owe me money, you only owe me $500. Money to mix us, we have to go to Bay, it's shlapi to Beistin, you have to make a shvua. What is my heter to take you, shlapi to Beistin, and cause you to swear? I know you're a liar. I know, right? Only I know that I lent you $1,000, you never paid me back. No one else knows that. Beistin doesn't know. They see two people come. I come to shop you to Beistin. What is my heter to walk into Beistin and say, this fellow owes me $1,000. He's lying. He says he only owes me $500. Beistin says, okay, swear. You're going to swear, and I know that that's a false shvua. So, but the Torah lets it. I'm asking a kasha on a pasuk of Chumash now. But what's the heter for that?
Why should it be a question you're having a heter? I have to get my money.
I understand, but let's say in order for me to get my money back, someone comes and says, a yid comes to me and says, I know where your money is, but I gotta drive, I know where this guy lives, he's about to board a plane to Tahiti with your $1,000 that he stole from you, I know where he is, I'm gonna go drive, not from a yid, I'm gonna drive to his house and get that money for you. I'm gonna meet him on the way in the cab, I'm gonna pull the $1,000 and bring it to you. Mutter Asr, Mukharat Asr. I have no heter to cause this yid to be Mechal Shabbos to get my $1,000 back. Right? So how can I cause you to make a shvuah?
Let him own up and be honest for a change.
But you know, there's this same idea here, maybe, and that is this question is asked by the Radvaz. I'm only comparing it with your case. I know they're going to steal. I know these guys are going to steal money. It's maybe the same thing. In other words, hey, one second here. What is my responsibility? Do I have to give up my business? To how much do I have to go? The Radvaz really says that it's a mutzah me'eshes kasha. But the Radvaz answers is your kasha. Ein mechuyev lahasid mamay. I'm not mechuyev to lose money. You're a liar. That's not my problem. I'm not mechuyev. It's different than the case where I'm going to go. Obviously, it's different than if I send you on a mission to save my money on Shabbos. That's a kumaseh. Here, it's like I don't have to lose money. You know, you want to swear that's your business. The mutzah me'eshes says that the other option is gazela. So that's the really answer. In other words, if I let you get away with it, you're a gazel. If I don't let you get away with it, you swear falsely. Either way, it's an averus. At least let me get my money back, right? You know that's his lashon of it. But could be it's Reb Scheinberg and Mishmeres Chaim says I'm not really doing anything in that case. In other words, you know, I come to Beis Din, I plead my case, and now you know you kind of swear on your own. That's his teretz of. It's not really a pa'ula, again, not like the case where I send you on a mission to get my money back. So maybe you could apply this in the Mishmeres Chaim, the Scheinberg of this case where I'm not doing anything, these guys steal, what did I do? Right? So in that sense, it would probably, again, there's a certain strong tzad, certainly a strong tzad to say that case would be mutter.
Something's happening.